Read with me, please, in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We've been starting our mornings here these last 2 days in the book of James. And you can imagine what it was for the new believers of that day to have been coming from a form in which a person's stature, or the rings on his hands, or the garment of clothes of office that he might wear, or certain things that perhaps might be related to his pedigree would make him accepted socially and religiously. And there was years when there was no new word from the Lord. And then comes along, directed by the Holy Spirit, writings like the book of James. And those new Christians, same as some of you here, something new had happened to them that had never been conceived of before. And so you find people coming out of Judaism, in which there's a priesthood and people observed it from a distance. Now they're learning some new things. One of them is that they're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that they have eternal life. And then they learn that they too were priests. Now that must have been a very, very amazing thing to them and hard to grasp. And I'm speaking to some of you here today who are, some of you recently from perhaps Judaism, and some from Buddhism or Shinto religion or Confucianism, and some of you young ones who were brought up in Christian homes perhaps don't really understand the great change that comes to people who have left a religion that was so different and come into the kingdom of God, a priestly kingdom, a kingdom where the people of the Lord are priests and are to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. It was an amazing and a remarkable thing that they had never heard of before, that these people who were being born into the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus Christ were priests under their God. Priests have things to offer. That's why I'm going to read here a number of scriptures in the Bible tell us of things that we offer or sacrifices that Christians do and are expected to offer. When we became children of God, when we became priests, we come into a priesthood in which you and I are expected, and we have the right and the unspeakable privilege of offering God gifts and sacrifices. And we're going to read one here, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of comment on these, but I'm going to read as many as we'll, and speak of as many as we can in these few moments. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we became children of God, or before we became children of God, before conversion, our bodies were the servants of sin, we read earlier on in the book of Romans. And after conversion, our bodies are often the seat of conflict between the old and the new nature. And as we look into the future, our bodies are going to be made like unto His own body of glory, glorious bodies. Right at the present time, our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. That is our priestly service. And this doesn't just happen because we're saved. Our bodies don't automatically become sacrifices. There does come, as we have already been reminded of today, and I would like to emphasize it again, there does a time come in the lives of Christians, a crisis time. As we were speaking to the young people last night, when people choose between heaven and earth, as Peter did, a crisis time as a result of contemplating the cross and the mercies of God. Remember how we read about goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life in the book of Psalm 23. Well, the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance, but it's the mercies of God that leads us to surrender ourselves fully to Christ. And He expects us to contemplate the cross and all the mercies of God there that are associated with that. And as we begin to think about that crisis time, I can see those believers in the times of the early church in its early times thinking about the past. And those Levite, those priests, before ever they could offer sacrifices, they had to be offered. They had to become sacrifices before they could offer sacrifices. And really, you and I have to understand some things here. That there does come a time in the life of Christian when they are charged with, what am I going to do with my life? Not what am I going to do with Jesus, but what am I going to do with my life? You'll find that many people who have been saved when they are young, and by that I mean up to where they haven't really gotten into a lot of things in the world. A lot of people will have a time in their life that is more affecting to their Christian service even than their conversion, even than the time that they came to Christ. A time of confrontation, perhaps at a conference or some other place or time, when we're faced with this solemn, serious thing. I am not my own. I am His. And I have been bought with a price. And now we have to say, am I prepared at this crisis time to present this body? As a result of that, it mentions here, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And as a result of that, there's a transfiguration takes place, a transformation. In the Bible, we read of this transfiguration, a transfiguration of three different occasions. One was that of the Lord, and that's where we find the pattern of the transfiguration. Here we find the transfiguration in its principle, by the renewing of the mind. And the power of it we would see in the book of 2 Corinthians. Why I'm saying this, some of you young ones, and I'm speaking to people not necessarily just young in years, but young in faith, need to understand that before anything really will come together in our priestly service and sacrifice, we must offer first of all this. Lock, stock, and barrel. The sacrifice of a consecrated... A sacrifice is something that costs. Sacrifices aren't things that are cheap. Sacrifices are always costly. And why the consecrated body is such a great sacrifice, that's natural for us to do that. Most people really aren't willing to do that. But when a person is willing to be sacrificed and to offer their body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, the experience, mind you, here in this particular portion, there is the crisis of the offering, which is the priestly service, and there is the transfiguration that happens, but there's also the experience in which we prove the will of God. Brother was speaking about that, and I jotted that note down in connection with the will of God. You know, we can learn, we don't have to spend our life wondering what God's will is. This is where we begin. And we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The sacrifice of a consecrated body, I would say to you, is probably the first sacrifice that really does count. Read another reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. These were people who were having difficult times. There were feeble knees and their hands were hanging down, and these people were discouraged. And he had called them to remember various things in earlier parts, but then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Another one of those things that we who are priests are able to offer, not only is the body, but is the sacrifice of audible praise. This isn't just hymn singing, although it can be. Every time we sing a hymn doesn't necessarily become a sacrifice. Well, then, if that's not the case when we sing hymns sacrificing, then when is the fruit of our lips a sacrifice? Again, it's when it's costly. Because this is to be offered continually. This is not just to be when we feel like it. But this is the sacrifice of praise when we wouldn't feel like it. Then is when it becomes a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise is not just an idea or a thought in the head, but it's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know, there's a tendency oftentimes in our day, in spirit and religious circles, to have what they call spirit songs that are little phrases repeated over and over and over and over again. And so the words of a whole hymn that they might sing for 2.5 minutes are no more than 10 or 15 words repeated over and over again in various tones and various songs. Well, the sacrifice of praise that is to be offered to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, that sacrifice of praise is something that comes after we have thought deliberate thoughts. This is not casual thinking. This is people who take time to consider and carefully say what they mean. Then it becomes a sacrifice. It's easy to tap our toe or sing along to a song and enjoy that particular thing, but it is not a sacrifice until it has taken the time of deliberate thinking and exercise on the part of the person who's offering it as a priest. So just because we sing a hymn doesn't mean we're making a sacrifice. It can be. But if it's one to fill in time, or even if it's one to leave here and walk down to the basement and have supper by, doesn't necessarily mean it's a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise that is given continually to God is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It takes a deliberate act and exercise on the part of a Christian to put the thoughts that they have into words continually to God in order for it to be a sacrifice. It's true. In the hymn book that we sing from, there are many, many hymns, and it does become spiritual sacrifices. As we were singing this morning, some of those hymns were not given out on the spur of the moment, and were most appropriate to the tenor of the meeting. It takes a little bit of time, and that's what we're to do continually. But not just in a meeting. It is very difficult to praise God when we're in difficulties. But he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. When it wouldn't be natural for us to offer this sacrifice of praise, and we choose to do it, it's something that God accepts as our priestly sacrifice. Notice in the next verse, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You and I here now are believers, and we have something to offer. We're priests. We're in a part of a priestly kingdom. And we have this body of ours to present as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we have the sacrifice of audible praise continually to offer to God. But we also have the sacrifice of our temporal goods. And to me, that's just money. And anything else that's associated with it, or that costs us the time and labor of daily work. To do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It does cost to meet needs. There's cost behind feeding the poor, if it's that's the call. There's cost to communicating to people who are struggling. There's cost to do good. I sat with a lady just 2 days ago, and she's not going to live very long, and as we were talking about her 20 years of Christian life, she was saved when she was 50. And she said, I was all the years, 50 early years of my life, I was always conscious of God and always aware of Him and always knew. And she said, even as a child, I'd pray to Him. And she said, I wasn't saved until I was 50. And she said, when I got saved and my husband after me, she said, we resolved that whenever the Lord sends somebody along for us to help, we would do it. And she's had people, many people in her home and stayed there and lived there with her and cared for them. And just happened to be the day we were there, one woman who she had cared for when she came from a far country, Romania it was, a number of years ago, this lady and her children had come and she had taken them into her home and cared for them, gave them beds, gave them food, sheltered them until they were able to get themselves established and brought the gospel to them and brought them out to gospel meetings. And one Sunday morning, they came out to the breaking of bread meeting and were shown a seat at the back. And the lady was so incensed that after that meeting was over, she took her children by the hand and made a dart for the door and left. And she said, do you know what happened? She says, just after you leave, that boy that she took out as a child, and I haven't heard from him for 15 years, is coming to visit me this afternoon. That was Thursday. And he was out to the meeting Thursday night. Sometimes payday doesn't come when we offer the sacrifice. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And I saw that young man in the meeting, and I thought of a lady dying, and 15 years ago had opened the hole to do good and to communicate. She didn't know. That was priestly service, perhaps, at the time. But God accepts that type of service. And what a joy to give her the privilege of seeing him before she dies. The lady has said to her that she wants to come and see her too after 15 years. You know, we need to understand that we are priests and part of a priestly kingdom. And we offer sacrifices. There's another in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Just read with me for a moment. In Philippians chapter 4. He says, verse 18, I have all and abound, I am full, having received with Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God. There's the sacrifice of a consecrated body, there's the sacrifice of audible praise, there's the sacrifice of our temporal goods. The things that we have, whether it's our money or our home or whatever, and it is a sacrifice when you have people around you all the time, and you make that part of your priestly service. But here's people who are sacrificed. There's a sacrifice of gifts to the Lord's service. Now, of course you understand, I'm not here soliciting, but I do understand this much. Every person who is a full-time servant of the Lord will understand this too. That we appreciate the sacrifice of God's people. We know somebody has worked hours to provide to the whatever is necessary, whether it's establishing a tent or whatever else it be at this day and age, the smallest kind of tent activity. I'm not talking the Vancouver kind, but I mean the smallest kind. You're talking at least $4,000 for 2 weeks. So if you're going longer, it's going to have to go more. It's the way things are, and this is done by sacrifices from God's people, and it is something that we can give as a priestly service. Now that, of course, price may change from place to place, but normally any city council where you're going to put do something out of the ordinary, outside of a gospel hall, your licensing fees, your permit fees, will be $2,000 right off the bat. So that's where we start from. And it's a remarkable thing. that whenever God's people are giving to the Lord, and I would suggest that this is probably for a specific thing. I don't think this was maybe just in general terms, but the sacrifice of gifts to the Lord's servants is part of our privilege of priestly service. Their responsibility as servants of the Lord is to use it as good stewards. Yours and mine is to give it as to the Lord, a part of our service as priests. The book of Psalms, I'll just give these to you. Our time is past, so I won't go any further. I'll just give these to you, and then we will conclude. Psalm 107, there's the sacrifice of thanks. That's a thanks to God. Psalm 107, verse 22. And that is, again, expressing in words. Thanks isn't just an emotion. It's expressing in words appreciation for blessings that we have received. And that is a sacrifice because it really does take time. Then Psalm 27, there's the sacrifice of joy for God's mercies to us, sung in Psalm 27, verse 6. And sometimes, you know, joy is not something that we keep in. Joy, there's a sacrifice to openness. A lot of people keep themselves closed, and they don't like to let anybody see a tear come from the eye. When they don't like anybody to hear a tremor in the voice when they pray, or a handkerchief come out of the pocket and wipe across the eyes at the Lord's Supper, sometimes people don't like to let that joy, that spiritual joy show. There is a cost. When God's people are really enjoying the Lord, people are going to think you're strange or unusual or different. There's the sacrifice of contrition in Psalm 51. Broken in a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise, O God. And this is genuine and real repentance for sin, and God takes that as a sacrifice. Here's a person in the depths of sin, and they come back and contrite, humble repentance to God, and the tears of repentance flow, and God is there to take the first sacrifice of a restored soul and claim it as part of his priestly service. And there is the sacrifice of righteousness in Psalm 4. That's before the world. That's simply, you refuse to do what you know is wrong. You just refuse to do what's wrong. And that's not easy when the boss says do something different. I was talking to a couple of businessmen since we were here. One sells parts and another sells houses. And in either of those, it's very easy to compromise. I mean, you know, who knows whether a part is new or used? Unless you are the sale, you know, they steam clean them, paint them, and you think they're brand new, except you know. The sacrifice of righteousness, the sacrifice of self, Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. He was going to everything. Sacrifice of his life. But a beautiful thing is said. And even as priests, it's a wonderful thing to me to know that I can offer God that which he accepts. I mean, we're talking about the Almighty God. It takes the useless, we say, bodies of ours that the world looks at as nothing. And he takes this as a sacrifice. From the praise of our lips, the fruit of our lips continually, and he accepts that. And the temporal goods that we have, and we pass them on, and he accepts that. And the commitment to the furtherance of the gospel and the service of the Lord through his servants, and he accepts that. And as we go down through all of those, here's God taking this from his priestly kingdom, those who are his own. And we're able to glorify God. You and I are able to be to the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? That the Almighty God finds pleasure in those things that you and I bring ourselves. That I can see those people before the time of the book of James, and just as the New Testament was being written. What a wonderful move into the kingdom of God to understand it. What other people did, and we were only observers, now we're actual participants, and we're involved in the same thing that God.